Welcome to Girls Who Read Porn. Please be advised that this podcast contains mature content for mature audiences. The title might have given that away, though. We would also advise you triple check the trigger warnings of each book prior to the episode. And if it's not for you, we'll see you next week. Each episode includes major spoilers, so make sure you read the book and don't say we didn't warn you. With all that in mind, on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Girls Who Read Porn. As usual, we're fraught with technical difficulties. So I apologize.
No.
We never used to.
Do you know what actually ended up happening to the laptop? The motherboard died.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so we had to buy a desktop and it doesn't have a webcam and I need to go buy one, but I just have not been fucked, so I'm just doing it through my phone till the end of time now.
Yeah, so, like, I guess we should apologize because we went on an impromptu break for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just because, like, nothing in our life is working smoothly.
Nothing.
Quite honestly.
Not a thing.
Like, at all. And so we're kind of back, kind of not, like, this year might be a very confusing year for everybody involved.
Yeah.
But if you see an episode, listen to it. And if you don't, this is our apology.
Yeah. Give us some grace this year because, to be frank, the last 3 weeks for us has been difficult, to say the least. Yeah.
Bedlam.
Yeah. Bedlam's the kind way to put it. I would say shit show on steroids.
We still love you.
Yeah.
We still love producing these episodes.
Bit of crack involved. So maybe we might not have an episode out every week, but we're going to try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our best. Because we do love reading. And but fuck, it takes time.
This year is just fucked for us. Like, I feel like next year we'll get back on track once, like, Betty's, like, really in the mode with her schooling and G's finished her placement, her last placement. And my job finally just relaxes a little bit because it's a little bit hectic right now. And I was just, on top of my 7 projects that I have, I was just given another 6 last week. So
fun.
I love that for me, which means that I don't exist. And also my family's coming from Poland next week.
Yeah, so everything's everything's changing. For the better.
For the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, now that disclaimer's out of the way. This week we have a silly book. It was meant to be released by Easter, but it, like, just isn't. But, like, just pretend like it's Easter.
We read it over the Easter weekend.
We did. This book is called Railed by the Easter Bunny.
I was traumatized.
By Dahlia Davies, and it's part of her Valley of the Old Gods series. So this is the novella that starts the series. We have not progressed with the series, not because it's a bad book, but because we're just flying through all these fucking
books. We don't have time, okay? We just don't have the time. And honestly, with all due, I probably would have continued, but then I was like, the second book is a fucking novel. If it was a novella, I would have hit it and quit it. No problem. Yeah. But this was just a bit too much.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad book. What was your ratings?
3.
I would have a 3.5.
Yeah, 3.
Yeah, yeah, I put a 4 because I was like, it's not bad.
No.
Yeah. It's what I needed at the time.
Yeah. I feel
it was
like
just something kind of silly.
I feel like with our ratings, 3 isn't a bad thing. Like, when we give a 5, something's exceptional, right? A 3 is just a good book.
Good.
Yeah, it's a good rating.
Yeah. Okay. The little blurb, it's quite short as well, which is nice. So, the man who holds the power rules the valley, but I won't let him rule me. To get out from under his thumb, I'll make a bargain with the old gods. I'll sell my soul to be free of him, but the goddess of spring offers me a deal that feels too much like a reward to be safe. And when I'm delivered into the hands of her son, I start to wonder if I want to be free at all. Never make deals with the devil or the old gods.
I kind of want to know what happens next. I'm not going to lie. Now that I think about it, I'm like, fuck, I don't feel like I was, like, it was finished for me.
Yeah.
So just like a premise, because that blurb doesn't really get a lot of information. This is like a monster book, basically. Like, it's the Easter Bunny is not like a human form of a god. He is a
giant
7-foot rabbit.
It's
so wrong.
With all the rabbit parts to match,
yeah,
which is so fucking, yeah, it's pushing my boundaries.
quite honestly.
Wow.
Because we were talking about, like, we just kind of, when we were reading it, we forgot that it was a rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was when the picture came up that I was like, oh.
Yeah, then you're reminded.
Because fluffy shit, like lots of.
Yeah.
Well, I think your brain is able to kind of block out the things that make it less human.
It's the tail that gets me, maybe, and the teeth.
the teeth was weird when she was talking about, like, his oversized front teeth and, like, how hot they were. And I was like, that can't. It's not. No. Can't be possible.
It's not good.
And then what, Biddy described the picture in the middle as a jump scare.
It was a jump scare because I was like, oh, shit. Like, he is just a giant rabbit.
Yeah.
Because, the book doesn't... I don't know, the way that she describes the non-human characters is through very human descriptors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you forget, there was cat people in there, but I didn't actually know there were cat people until they mentioned that they had tails.
Oh, were they cat people?
Yeah.
Yeah, the two girls that introduced her into this club.
They were cats.
Yeah, they were cats. Oh. It was called Calico and, something else.
Yeah, like...
The minx. Like Calico and minx or something.
I read this, two weeks ago.
This book is, very much a premise for a bigger series, so it doesn't have a lot of world building in it. I mean, it's only 70 pages, wasn't it?
I think it was, 52 or something on my Kindle.
Yeah, it wasn't very big at all. Yeah. And you kind of got, an introduction. There's, a world and there's, gods in it. And one of the gods... is the Easter Bunny.
Wild.
And her name, this, I think this is silliest thing about this book was her name was
Esther.
Easter Lily.
Her name was Esther.
No, her name was, no, the god was called Esther. Her name, the main female character's name was Easter Lily.
No, it was just Lily.
I didn't look at that.
But like
it was Easter Lily, but everybody called her Lily.
What?
No, because when they mention it, then they say then they go, what's your name? And she says Lily. And they go, oh, Easter Lily. Because it's the flower of Easter, I think. But that's the only time Easter Lily is mentioned in the same sentence.
I thought she said that she was called Easter Lily and she didn't understand.
Nah, just Lily.
I'm convinced she was called Easter Lily.
I don't think she was, eh? I think she was just called Lily.
I don't know, maybe I'm just making shit up.
But they talk about it in the same sentence, when she says her name and the two cat girls go Easter Lily.
No, that's probably... Do you know what the second book's called? The second book is called Banging the Easter Bunny. So.
I always thought, even all that's come up, they write their books. Do you think they have a name for them first?
No.
Or do you think that comes after?
I think they have a few glasses of wine and they're like, what should I do to these people?
Okay, what can I make it the most shocking, grab attention worthy thing?
Yeah.
Because she has, so we have railed by the Easter Bunny, banged by the Easter Bunny, railed by Krampus.
Whoa.
Railed at the Bacchanal.
Oh.
What's the Bacchanal?
Well, I don't know what was...
The Bacchanal is the old Greek festivity thing. So it's a drunken festival.
Oh.
Okay. And then railed.
A complete inhibition loss.
Oh.
Yeah. And then railed by the Reaper, which is yet to come out. That one hasn't been released yet.
The next one.
Yeah. So that's the entire series.
Bro, if the Reaper is the guy with the hood and that fucking crazy thing in his hand, I'm not down for that. That's just creepy as shit.
As in the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, but I feel every other time we talk about demons and stuff, I'm like, okay, I can cop that. But an actual Reaper?
Yeah.
From Deathly Hallows, when they tell that story of the fucking...
death? Yeah.
Yes! Yeah. That's not hot.
Like a skeleton, an actual skeleton man holding a scythe.
Yeah.
Did you think it was just a skeleton?
Yeah, the Reaper's always just been a bone daddy.
Yeah, but then because I feel like we have read Easter books as well, where it's bone talking daddy? About the Reaper or something. But they're just like hot guys in hoodies. Like, I feel like the smart version is just hot guys in hoodies.
Yeah, but I feel like this chick is not going to do that.
No, she'll be like, true to
form. She'll be like, true to form, big teeth,
biblically accurate Grim Reaper.
Bunny ass and like those long feet.
Yeah.
Like there was no hiding the feet either. The feet. She was like,
Why long feet?
Bunny. Rabbit.
Oh, rabbit. Yeah, of but course. That's what I'm sorry.
Like, she went into such detail about this fucking rabbit that I know that this Grim Reaper is just going to have a skeleton dick. Gross.
Gross.
Thank you. Gross.
Be like red.
Do we have a favorite part? Can you have a favorite part in a book like this?
Yeah, I think you can. And my favorite part was that for what it was short and that's all we needed.
Yeah, to be fair, I was kind of like, it was like the night before and me and Dana had gone camping and I was like really cold and I was like, man, I still have to read that book. We're like recording tomorrow afternoon. I was like, fuck, I still have to read the whole book. And then I opened it and I was like, I got through like 7 pages and I was like, I'm 25% of the way through. That's great.
Yes, I read it. I read it on my train ride and I still had another 40 minutes to read something else.
Nice.
I felt very good about it.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. I just was like, oh shit, I've got to read this book. And then I looked at it and I was like, oh, I've read this book.
Yeah. I loved that. I was like, and I feel like I got something out of it. Like I can talk to people about this book, even though it took me 20 minutes to read it.
There's something like, I feel like people like shit on novellas, right? Because like we always say like we like them because they're easy or whatever, but like it's like good to be easy. Like it's so much more accessible for a lot of people. Like a lot of people don't read really quickly or read a little, or like put a lot of time into reading. So if you give someone like a 500 page book, like it's like a big task. Give someone a 50 page book, you know?
One of my girlfriends just released a book. Billy Lee is her pen name. I need to find the name of the book, one sec. But she wrote a novella and one of the comments was it was not in depth enough, and she was like, it's a fucking novella.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want from me?
It's like, but part of the beauty of it, is that it's not in depth. Like, you don't have to, like, do big thinking.
Think.
Imagine that. She released her first book. How fucking incredible is that?
What I do find interesting about this book, or any sort of, like, bizarre kind of fantastical, like, novel like this, is they always rely on Greek mythology to make sense of the universe. Doorknob.
And that's what shat me the last time I told you guys this. That's what I did not like about it, was that they fucking destroyed the Greek mythology for me in this.
Yeah.
Well, they did the same in the Easter Bunny. It's based on, like, Greek mythology.
I did not like that, because I love stories with Greek mythology. Like, whatever that Scarlet chick wrote, and... Scarlet St. Clair wrote, which I'm still pissed we're 3 years in and we're waiting for the last book.
I'm still waiting for the next Tilly Cole book in the Lord of London.
Bullshit. I feel like, okay, here's the deal. Now I'm pissed. Because the situation is... I sat up properly. The situation for me is, in this instance, is that we feel bad for authors who take 3 months to bring a book out, right? Because that's heavy, that's hard. Expecting people to do that is difficult. But on the other end of the spectrum, expecting readers to wait 3 fucking years on a cliffhanger, you should be banned. If you're not going to do it, don't fucking write it in the first place, because you managed to get all the other ones out in time. Why are you traumatizing people?
It is weird. I like when authors just sort of, it's like they just sort of like forget about it.
They disappear. The only time that I've ever been forgiving of this, and it broke my fucking heart that this happened, because I know that she was writing the other books, was unfortunately when an incredible author passed away. And she left everyone on a cliffhanger on the last one, and we were all just like...
Of course you would forgive that. You don't have another option.
I know, but that's the only time I've been okay with it. Do you know what I mean? Every other time I've been like, don't write if you're not going to fucking do it.
Yeah.
Like, Scott, come on. How much fucking longer do we have to wait? Because I've read the first book 3 times now. We have to twice now, sorry. And I refuse to go further until the last book has come out. I've spoken to you about that because G read all of them and then said, don't read it because it'll fuck you up. And she thought book was out and she got to it and then she went to go look for the last book. And what happened, G? Where was it? Not fucking there.
Well, because she actually went back and re-released all of the original books from his perspective, But I also don't understand that, because the original series was split POV.
No, I'm sorry, But I don't care if you want to fucking throw a 50 Shades of Grey in this. At least E.L. James finished the first three books and then did the fucking
Well, that's what's weird about it, though, right? That's, like, what Biddy was saying, is that, like, it's weird to, like, go back and, like, republish them as opposed to just writing, the last one.
I'll tell you why. She doesn't know what the fuck is going on. She doesn't know what to do next. She's like, I've got to go back because I don't know.
She just had, like, no plan. She just has no plan. She's like, there's nothing there.
There's nothing. And she's releasing new series. Other series. This is not the only series.
Well, Tilly Cole is doing the same thing.
I know. You don't think I don't want to read the next Lords of London Town? I do. I enjoyed that book, except when they cut that guy's dick off and he went running somehow. I don't understand. But other than that, loved the book. Want to read the next one. I want to read about the fucking sister. I think it's a crock of shit that I'm still sitting here waiting when instead she wrote about some fucking cult that could have waited.
Yeah. I try to make it like a general rule to not start a series that isn't finished, but I feel like in the age of like digital like e-reading, it's really hard to know if a book isn't actually out yet, because oftentimes there'll be like a placeholder title on Goodreads or on Amazon that makes you think that it's out.
There's all
finished. I just think it's irresponsible. Okay.
You're playing with people's lives.
I feel like this is so unfair because you know that your books have such an emotional impact on people. And do you know what? Okay, fine. Some books leave me on a cliffhanger. I don't care, especially if it's a rom-com. That's fine. I can wait for the next one to come out for the next guy or the next soccer player or whatever. But if you're writing 5-star fucking books, like top of the fucking line books, like Mariana Zapata, Pam Godwin, fucking Scarlett, whatever, Tilly Cole, all of these people who we love. Imagine if Pen Pal, imagine if they stopped writing Pen Pal. Imagine right before the ending and then she waited 5 years to release the next part. That's fucked. That is fucked. You can't do to people because it's a story. It's an ongoing story.
Well, how long have we been waiting for the end of Game of Thrones? 11 years?
Yeah, 11 or 12 years for the final Game of Thrones book. That's why I haven't read Game of Thrones. Like, right up my alley.
Well, I started reading. I got 5 books in.
The show is over.
Yeah, dude. You put all this energy into the show and just forgot about the books.
Like, this is what gives me the shits. We have these authors who are forcing themselves to pull out books every 3 months. I reckon there should be, like, a rule of law that every 6 months, if you have a series, a book needs to come out. Or, like, every 8 months or something. Or at least once a year. If you go over a year, you lose your right to write.
I'll turn into, like, a dictator.
I am.
Like, totalitarian.
I really want to read the end of that fucking series.
Yeah.
I want to read it. And I just feel like I'm being fucking cheap shot in this situation, and it's rude.
And we're just filling the hole with railed by the Easter Bunny.
I just feel like it's that's exactly right. I feel like it's rude. I feel like it's inconsiderate to the readers, and I feel like I don't give a shit about his perspective because I don't even know the end of hers.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Are you
to
good?
My TED talk.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not okay. I feel really like passionate about this because you can't fuck with people like that. People, tell me this. Okay, in all seriousness, how do books affect us? Like, we get emotional about it, we get really invested in it, and it can bother you if something isn't finished. Like, for somebody like me, who is a clean freak, psychotic fucking fanatic in every part of my life, if something isn't finished, I can't get over it.
Yeah.
Dude, that's how I feel when there's a gaping fucking plot hole and the series is finished and I get to the end and I go, well, what happened to that person?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Where have they gone?
Just little things Thank that, like, you. Can't be explained away.
Yes.
Yeah, like the Master of Salt and Bone. What the fuck happened to her family?
I was just thinking that. I was just thinking that. When
like,
you
where's,
said
her,
plot
where's
hole?
Her aunt? When you, where's her aunt, well?
When you said plot hole, don't I let was 100 yeah. like Master of Salt and Bone.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, don't let me get invested in a character. Don't make one of your peripheral characters such a significant part of a plot and then not finish their story as well.
I just think that it's so rude. I said it.
I feel like this goes back to the general conversation of like books are becoming like fast fashion. Like, everybody's an editor.
Quantity, not
everybody's
quality.
A publicist.
And everybody should not be an editor.
Yeah.
Right. Like being an editor is hard. It is a profession that requires training.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, because, like, an editor is not a proofreader. They're the people that look for plot, continuation.
Yeah, an editor is a very important job.
Very.
A job people have trained for years to establish themselves, right? And then now, because there's not enough editors for writers.
Not enough.
You know, you'll just hire your mate and you're like, I'll give you, like, a couple $100 if you just read this book, and they get to the end and go, well, you had a couple of like spelling mistakes, but they're not looking at consistencies because they don't know that that's what they have to look for.
Tom, Dick and Harry down the road who don't read a newspaper, never read in their lives, all of a sudden they're editors.
Well, I guess, yeah, because it's like the rise of freelance writers, right? Independent writers. So then you get the rise of freelance proofreaders and editors and artists that also do work for books.
Do you know what the problem with that is? I actually had to help an author fire someone because she's never fired anyone before because the work that they were doing was so poor. And she was like, but now I feel guilty because I can't fire them because I'm introverted. Yeah. And I'm a writer. This is not what I want to deal with. I just want somebody to do the job properly.
That's what publishing houses were for.
Yeah.
Is they would have vetted professionals working under their control.
And you would have an agent that you would liaise with, right?
Yeah, and an author wouldn't necessarily be responsible for all that administrative work. They would write their book, have their creative freedom, and then it would go through a rigorous process, and then you get good quality content at the end.
Shits me to tears.
But the problem with publishing houses in itself is that publishing houses will only purchase books that they think will do well.
Yeah, and then they put them on fucking Kindle for $14.99.
But then romance is not one of those tropes. Erotic romance in particular, or however you like to call it, smart or whatever, is not one of those tropes that is associated with publishing houses because they don't want to invest in it.
Yeah.
Unless you're Lucy Score putting out a book for $14.99.
Yeah, but even then, like, then who the fuck is going to pick up Railed by the Easter Bunny?
Nobody.
Which is a book that we enjoyed, which is a fun piece of literature that we got to consume. It's someone's work.
Double-edged sword, eh?
Yeah.
Can't win either way. Lose-lose. Just, I mean, but it's like lose-lose, win-win. It's like, it's just fucking, they all cancel each other out.
Infuriating. You know what? Like, when we talk about shit editing, the jeans and the skirt situation and that stupid fucking mafia army book, whatever the fuck it was.
I literally can't even remember the name of it.
No, because it's called Stupid Mafia Army Book. That's it. That's the name of it. Fucking ridiculous.
I wasn't in the CIA. I don't know what the fuck.
I don't know what the fuck he was. He was like, it's obvious that the mafia is involved, obviously. But then I think, like, don't you proofread your own book?
Oh, but I think you get to a point the process of writing a novel that you, because it makes sense in your head, you're blind to all your mistakes. Like, I'll write an essay, right? And I'll read back through the essay with exactly how I think it should sound. And then someone else will read it and be like, you're missing a word there.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I do that one time. I skip words. Yeah.
Because like I'm typing so fast. Oh, but then when I reread it, my head fills in the blanks of the mistakes that I've made because I know what I should have been writing. Yeah. And then when I haven't, but my brain can't differentiate that I haven't wrote it because I know what I am writing. Where other people don't know what you're writing, so it's easier for them to find the mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Lord. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, George, do you have a favourite moment of this book?
Are we still on the favourite? Okay, sorry. Continue.
Turn that into a fucking big thing. That was a big divergence. That was like over 10 minutes.
I honestly felt very, very deeply about that because I think it's fucked that I still cannot read that stupid fucking series.
Okay. No, yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
Sure? I think we all get it.
Do you want me to start again? Yes.
I don't know if I had a favorite part. I think if I'd been in like a different time where I wasn't so busy, I would have probably liked to read the other books.
Yes.
I think like the setting up of like a valley where it's like a bunch of like old gods is like a great premise for books. For like a series of standalones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She writes really well.
She does. She did write really well. Really good. It was really easy to read. It was like super engaging.
Yeah.
The sex scenes were really good. I don't know if I had a favorite sex scene just because it was just kind of like one
big long.
Yeah, and it was like, and, oh, yeah, well, you know, it wasn't
just a big kind of
wait,
long.
Did he go down on her?
Yeah.
Oh, with those teeth. Oh, no bueno. I'm sorry, but that's a hard pass for me.
You're just in fear.
Yeah. What if he like? It's one of those books like clit off or something.
Oh, no, don't say that.
It's just one of those books where you're not really in it for the smut. You're in it for the ridiculousness of it, and then the story ends up being good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I did like when she kicked her ex-boyfriend out of the apartment at the end.
Yeah,
power. And then she was like, "And I'm the powerful one now." It's funny.
I didn't understand the magic.
Yeah, they keep calling it the power.
Yeah.
Maybe it just wasn't explained yet. Like, if we read the other book, it could be a little bit clearer. So
yeah, it's not necessarily a critique. It's more so like, it seems like a very unstable magic system from what I've read so far.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand how he has power, but she has more, but he still has power. And
Because that escalator lady gave it to her.
Yeah, but he's the grandson
of
her.
Of her. Yeah. So
he's... of her.
Yeah.
He's the grandson of Esther. So I think he's like the great grandson.
Like, it's like
in a book like this, you just need to give it some grace because there's a lot of fucking random shit going on. Like, you
50 pages, man.
Yeah, like, I think you've got to give it some grace because it's already ridiculous. I don't think you need to have high standards for the magic.
Well, I'm not, like I said, it wasn't a critique. It's just like, if I have to find something about the book, then it would just be like I was confused by their magic system.
It involved the Greek mythology, by the way, just in case anyone's wondering.
Yeah. Well, it's not really. It's kind of like
a mix of mythology. A
butchering of like Greek mythology. It's not like accurate or pure.
Yeah,
I don't even think they don't have the Easter Bunny in Greek mythology.
No,
it's more so inspired by.
It's inspired by common mythologies.
It's also inspired by like paganism and shit. It's pagan.
Yeah, like Krampus and stuff.
I actually don't even know where the Easter Bunny comes.
It's pagan.
From.
So basically, what happened was, like, I know this because of my history through my culture. We were very, very pagan in Poland back in the Dizzle. And one of the things that we do on the Monday is that we have a really like interesting tradition where men will run around the streets throwing water on women and like whipping their ankles with sticks. But the tradition is based on purifying women, because apparently back then women were shit, but now like men and women on the Monday all have a water fight, right? So Josh and I will do it to each other. We have to cover electronics. It's amazing. But the idea...
You do it inside.
Oh, yeah. You wake people up with it. That man has woken up every year with a fucking glass of water on his face.
Surely he'd be prepared by now.
No, because...
Ready and waiting.
But, like, for days before, he's like, got to go find my whacking stick. But we don't do that, obviously, in modern day. But, like, just as a joke. But anyway, so the idea is that you're purifying your bodies and coming into spring, because it's spring in
the
Northern
Hemisphere.
Okay, but
what does that have to do with the Easter Bunny?
Just chill, relax, I'm getting there.
Okay. Come on.
So that your body purifies so that you can start to... reproduce, right? So the symbol for spring for reproduction is rabbits, and it always falls on the Monday of Easter. So the pagans had that as their symbol.
Oh, so it wouldn't even really be.
I thought it was some sort of like fertility thing, eh? Like it must be. Like rabbits, it must be. Rabbits and eggs. Like, pretty.
Well, then, you know what they say, like, you know, fucking like rabbits.
Yeah,
well, that's where the idea has come from, is from these pagan traditions that rabbits are so fertile, well, which they are.
So then if it's so embedded in like pagan tradition, why did we even need a goddess of spring?
They should have just used the pagan idea in it. To be frank, it probably would have come out better in this book. But a lot of people don't understand paganism and don't know it. Like, a lot of stuff that I do throughout the year is pagan tradition embedded into our Catholic tradition.
Yeah.
Well, most tradition at this point is has a little bit of paganism
in
it. Yeah, it's like a little bit of like a crock pot of different things.
Like the tree in Christmas, that's pagan.
Yeah, but like we do tree. Like full festivities based on old pagan traditions. Like, so on the first weekend of November, we have St. Andrew's Day, where we will go out and play all of these old pagan games to bring us into the winter, which is Northern Hemisphere.
God,
winter.
Your fucking life must be so busy. Like, I'm just trying to get shit done and someone's like, come outside, we got to fucking like throw a hoop on a stick for the pagan tradition of St. Andrew.
Basically, no, it's about, it's for women to know whether they're going to get married or not in the next spring after they get like all that water and shit thrown on them. So it's like a cycle.
Well, did...
It's a cycle of shit, you know. It's hard being a woman.
I'm tired. Like, I'd be too tired. Someone would be like, come on, we're going into winter. I'd be like, it's cold. I don't want to play your fucking games.
And stuff like that. And we play outside at night. And, like, you know, it's like pouring wax through an old key and trying to, everyone gets together and they're trying to work out what the shape is to tell your future. And, like, it's very.
I can't even keep up with Christmas. Birthdays are too much for me,
quite
honestly.
Christmas traditions are quite pagan as well. So yeah.
I get a little bit stressed at even the prospect of like a birthday or a holiday coming up.
But our weddings are also very heavily pagan and Jewish, like infiltrated, like lots of breaking glasses and other stuff like that as well. Yeah.
I am nothing. I'm just confused. I'm perpetually confused all the time.
Your religion is confusion.
My religion is confusion.
I muted myself just to sneeze out loud.
My concept of spirituality is so bizarre because I will not make full decisions. I will not make decisions on a full moon because my mom once told me that I couldn't do that.
That's not wrong. So no, that's totally true. You don't do that. But that's the...
Well, you know, because...
I'm sorry, don't mean to be a bitch, but that's the Jew in you. Because that is very, very Yiddish to not do that. We don't do that shit. The other thing that you don't do, never put shoes on table. We're so superstitious.
Yeah, never. I've never put shoes on table.
So superstitious, it's not even funny. If you put your wallet on the ground, I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
Well, that's what my grandma... This is my grandparents. My grandma's the exact same.
Yeah.
My grandma's... And I've got all of these superstitions drilled into
me. It's pagan.
Like, kill a spider. But the thing is like, I don't know if I believe it. I'm just not risking it. You know what I mean?
You believe it.
Like a conservative approach.
Don't do it. Yeah. Because you don't want to risk it for the biscuit, okay? Just
that's what I'm saying. Like, it might not be true. It might not be true. But if it does turn out to be true, I wouldn't have done it, so it's fine.
I'm superstitious as fuck. I do not fuck with
like,
that
there's
shit.
There's an eclipse coming up. And now I'm panicking.
Panic. Freak the fuck out. As one of my friends once said, Mercury's in Gatorade. So you don't want to fuck with me.
Like, I don't even quite understand it either. That's the worst part.
No, bro, full moons, fuck with people. Fuck with women especially.
I know, I work,
with
if you work in health,
especially,
yeah.
Oh my God, God forbid you have your period on a full moon.
I don't know if it,
blow
I don't know if it...
yourself up.
I don't know if it applies to other areas of healthcare, but specifically within mental health. If you ask anybody that works in mental health about a full moon, they will tell you every time, don't fucking work on a full moon.
No, it's like all healthcare. Everything goes wrong. Everybody's beeping. People are dying.
Don't fuck with the full moon. And if there's a full moon and Mercury's in retrograde, you're fucked. Just move out, go live in the ocean for a month and then come back because there's no point of even tolerating all the shit that's going to go down.
Dude, imagine if you could, like, put on like a night shift on a full moon and you just told your boss, nah, can't come in, it's a full moon.
Hundo, do it.
Like,
I would do
my
that.
Religion, I can't.
I just fucking, like, I've worked on full moons and the worst thing has happened. And then I try to share these stories with other people and they go, well, you're just like confabulating the concept of full moon and crazy. Like, they're already crazy. They're going to be crazy whether it's a full moon or not. And I go, no, it's different.
Nah, bro.
You'll have a great day and then it'll hit.
It hits
like,
you like
8 p.m.
a fucking ton of bricks, bro.
And then at 8, like, you could have the best day in the world, and then 8 p.m. rolls around, and everybody is, like, half naked, beating the shit out of each other.
That's
and
right.
Like, I don't know
you
what's
don't
happened.
Even need to be in a mental ward for that to happen. That happens in my house if there's a full moon and I'm on my period. Like, when I tell you that that doesn't even surprise me, nor am I like, that's like a normal full moon in this household, bro. Normal. Whatever. get naked and beat the shit out of each other? Sure, why not? Cry over chocolate? Sure, why not?
Did you ask, did you see the results of the sleep study that was finally done on women, Ola?
No. What is it? That so we need 10 hours? Was it that one?
Yeah, we need 9 hours on average, and then during our periods we need 10.
Yeah. Actually, I did say that.
Like,
I lied.
How wild is it? Like, that is the first, done, rigorous sleep, study that they've done on women ever. It's the first one. It
blows my mind, because all the advice we've been given previously, and it's not been publicly said, but literally all the advice we've been given previously, and even my doctors myself, about my weight, about this, about wanting, if we plan to have a child someday, all the things that they've told me to do, make sure you get between 7 and 8 hours. Bro, I can't function on anything less than 9.5 hours. I know this. Yeah. I go to bed at 8:30. I wake up at 5 a.m. There's a reason for it, because I cannot function like a normal human. Don't tell me that other women can.
No, they can't. And the ones that do are the ones that just exist and are used to living in a sleep-deprived state.
And that's not normal. And me with COVID, 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
And Josh was fine after 12. I was like, you know what, fine, I'm weak.
That's why I think it's like really weird, right? Because all of this built up, the average work length day is based on how much sleep you should get and how much free time you have. And it's women are expected to sleep less, and then because they've got these bigger work days, right? Like everybody's hours are just getting longer. So it's
I know. Yeah, and I work a 12-hour day regularly. I've been working 12-hour days, almost every day.
And then you're supposed to, somehow, do all of the things that you're meant to do to, stay healthy, shower and eat well and fucking get outside and exercise and then get 10 hours of sleep.
Okay.
And then also, do all of your fucking laundry, make sure your house is clean, and if you have children, make sure they're not dead.
Yeah.
This is really interesting, because on that exact same note, because I'm currently researching bad boy tropes within my sociology thing, right? And I'm looking at why women are drawn to the concept of bad boys in literature. And one of one of the studies found that women are more drawn to bad boys in literature because bad boys, historically, once they fall in love with a woman, will do things for them.
Yeah.
Contribute to the household.
Yeah.
Do you know what? That makes so much sense to me, because Josh recently has been fucking useless.
They pamper their, women, right?
Yeah, because they're known to be obsessive and possessive and controlling, but part of those traits are contributing to the household and treating their partner in equal or to be dominant over them, right? But to be equal or dominant over, you have to give in to emotional and physical labor.
Yeah.
That's true. I feel like at the moment I'm so fucking off him. I sent him a voice message last night of him snoring. And so right now, for 30 minutes, and this man has never cuddled me in his sleep in his life. And last night he threw his body on top of me with his fucking face in my ear, just jackhammering my fucking ear balls of that snore. And I sat there recording it thinking, I'm going to fucking murder you the next day. And I came out into the lounge room, and the lounge room was messy, and that was it for me. I haven't seen him all day. That was it. Be a bad boy, clean the fucking house. I can tolerate the snoring. I was pissed. I was pissed. Who snores like that?
Yeah, man.
So inconsiderate and rude. Like, honestly. Person is allowed to sleep tonight. This is why they never do studies on women, because they never actually fucking sleep.
I want to know. You know how they do those real classic, if you have really interrupted sleep, then they'll put you in one of those sleep labs, sleep clinic where they observe you and stuff. I want to be observed when I sleep, because my sleep is really strange.
Same.
No, I sleep like a fucking Mack truck. Once I'm out, you could hit me with a car. Nothing's happening.
See, I don't wake up, but I do things in my sleep. I'm really active. I sit up. I talk. I scream in my sleep. I cry in my sleep. I do all this really weird shit in my sleep.
Dang.
I know. I'll sit up, and he'll be lie down, and push me down.
Once, oh my god, when Josh and I first started dating, my dog passed away, and he was sitting up scrolling on his phone. He could not sleep for days after this. I scared the shit out of him, and my dog's name was Carlos. And I opened my eyes and I looked up in the ceiling and I'm like, Josh, Carlos is there. Look, he's right there, like pointing at the ceiling. And he's like, I've got to get the fuck out of this room.
See, I've never once had a consistent sleeping pattern in my entire life.
I'm not so strict on my sleep.
I'm either going to bed at 11 o'clock and I'm waking up at 7, or I'm going to bed at 2 a.m. and I'm waking up at 4 a.m.
No. I don't know it's just how you are. That drives me crazy. I sleep every night. My eyes are closed and I'm snoring by like 9:15, 9:30, and I'm up at 5 a.m. exercising. Because when do we have time for ourselves? Never.
Never.
This is why we can't read books.
This is fun. And then I've got to go do my 12-hour day where I have to get on the train for an hour and a half just to fucking get there and then work the 12 fucking hours, then come home and look like an abused fucking rat while we try and record the book, which I don't remember. Because we read it 2 weeks ago.
And then
get a text message saying, what's for dinner? Which makes me so violent. Text message. So violent.
And this is why we have to fall in love with bad boys. Because
we have to read, right? At this point, reading is like a fucking mental health necessity.
Do you know how many books I've read recently? A lot. I have been reading a lot because I need to like disappear. Real Housewives or reading? Those are my only two vices right now.
The book that we're talking about next, Ranger, actually changed the course of my day.
Oh, that's cool. I can understand.
I was having one of those days where I was like, I don't want to do anything today. I'm so miserable because I'm just tired. Mm. And then I started reading the book and I read the entire book in one sitting and went to bed so happy.
Yeah,
I read the entire book as well. It was like, it was really weird because then today or yesterday, I reread June recently and Dane's reading it at the moment. And it's like 800 pages long, but I've already read it before and it's not like a super like hard book. So I read it in like 5 or 6 days. And then Dane was like, man, I can't believe you read that like more than 100 pages a day. And I was like, babe, I read an entire book yesterday. I read 350 pages yesterday.
Yeah.
I read 2 or 3 books in a day, week, please.
If you're in the zone, right? If you get into that like fugue state and you just sit down, then it's like everything else disappears.
Me and George went to a 24-hour readathon.
Why don't we do a 24-hour at the end of May?
Yeah, we can do that. Like around like the start of June, end of May.
And we can check in, do some videos, murder ourselves, I don't know, something.
Me and George have actually been talking about doing it because the last time we did it, I think I got through 4 books and I think you got through 5 or 6.
Yeah, I can't remember because I fell asleep at one point.
Yeah, we both fell asleep.
Defeated but it was purpose. Fine.
I know,
but because we set it up badly, right? We ate a shit ton of Chinese food, and we started reading at 8 p.m. in the evening.
Okay, so we're that's more than 24 hours. You got to get up at like 5.
Yeah, it was because I had work in the morning, so I'd like gone up, gone to work at 8, came home at like 1:30, and then we started the readathon. Like it was like weird.
Well, we did it like that because that was the only time that the house is going to be empty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because like
yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. You can't have people around. Start at like 6 or 7 a.m.
And then we just go
right the way through.
And you eat good food.
Yeah.
And you don't. You know, I want to make like smoothies. That makes you sleepy.
I want to eat like a lot of fruit.
Yeah. Energy. Positive energy foods. Yeah.
All right, guys.
We'll book it in. We'll get it sorted.
I'm getting text messages from my good boy asking me what I'm doing and if I can go pick him up. So just another thing I need to do.
See you later.
Yeah, I'll see you tonight.
Bye.
Well, next week for the audience, but for us, we're recording 2 in the same day. So.
Aren't you lucky?
Oh, and we're doing Ranger by Dr. Rebecca Sharp.
By specifically Dr. Rebecca Sharp. That is included.
So ridiculous. All right.
So funny.
Put some respect on her name. Oh, yeah. She's a doctor.
Off. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Girls Who Read Porn. Follow us at Girls Who Read Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And for all business inquiries, please send us an email on girlswhoreadporn@gmail.com. Art created by Jessica Wanny and music made by Dane Forgy Stevens. See you next week and stay smutty, team.